Hi, Mark. Here we are. And hello to all our listeners. We're getting such great feedback from this podcast that I'm really pleased about it.
We are. And it's interesting that when we go places, how people come up and say, oh, how's the podcast? I've been listening to it. And we have no idea who listens to our podcast. So it's really interesting. It's cool. It's good
well,
fun.
Well, let's face it. It's been a bit of fun for us. I hope it's fun. And a learning experience for those who do listen to it. That's what it's all about.
So who have we got as our guest this afternoon, Bill, on a lovely sunny day in Geelong? It's actually magnificent out there today.
Well, it is. I was sat out in my little porch out the front and had lunch today out there. Really interesting guest today, Greg O'Shea. Greg has a background that reads, well, it should be on Wikipedia, I think, the way I read it. But we'll ask him where he's born. I know where he's born. But he's come to Geelong because he's starting a new business in Geelong, which we'll get to later on. But over the time, he spent a lot of time in the hospitality industry. He has worked as a chef in a three-star Michelin restaurant in London. Is that correct, Greg?
Yes, that's correct.
That's right. And then ran the Holmes Glen Cookery Bakery Hospitality School for a number of years. And I guess has taken all that experience and has now made the sea change.
The sea change. So, welcome, Greg.
Thank you. Yeah,
great to be here. We've been looking forward to having a chat with you. So, let's start as we do with most of our interviewees. Where did you go to primary school?
Primary school. Okay, so Camperdown was the town. So, for those who don't know, it's between Colac and Warrnambool.
Yep.
St. Patrick's Primary School. And I can give you a year, about 1977, when I started primary school. But yeah, Camperdown was where I did my schooling.
So country boy?
Not on the farm, but lived in the town, but certainly a country boy. Yeah,
yep.
Loved the country.
Yeah. So what led you out of Camperdown? Where did you go from Camperdown to high school?
So high school was a school called Catholic Regional College. It's called Mercy College now in Camperdown. When I was 17, I'd already made a decision well before that I was going to be a chef, and my journey leapt from Camperdown to Melbourne to pursue my cooking career.
Okay, and so where did you go? Where was your first job?
My first job was actually in Australian Airlines. It had just become Qantas, so that was back in about 1988, I think. I got the job. I actually spent 4 years in the airlines doing my apprenticeship. I worked at a few other hotels throughout that time as well, but I think the perks were too good back in those days to work in an airline. I had an amazing experience and travelled a lot and worked with some amazing people, but really good grounding for my career at that time as a chef.
Greg, did you have a job before you actually started that? Were you part-time jobs?
Yeah, I actually started helping my grandmother back in the kitchen when I was learning how to make scones and peel vegetables when I was very young. And I think there was an ultimatum given by my mum whether we either helped with dinner or did the dishes. And I quickly learned to help with dinner all the time, and the other siblings got the dishes. But yeah, back in those days, I was 15 or 14 actually, or 15, and I was working in the Chinese restaurant in town, peeling onions, doing fried rice, doing the dishes. And that was really a really good grounding for me prior to my apprenticeship, amongst other work in pubs back when I was doing school work experience, etc.
Mark, that's a first for us. Working in a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, we haven't had anyone there. We've had banks and we've had all sorts of...
Well, early, part-time jobs, a lot of paper rounds.
A lot of paper
there?
Rounds. That's right.
I did that too, yeah.
But they're all gone now. Yeah. So where did your love of cooking come from then? Instill that in you?
I'll trace it back to Nan. Yeah, it was always the Sunday roasts, that was always the baking that went on. And I think it was just that love of cooking that came from those very early years as a kid, and then I guess manifested as I went through the teenage years as well. And right back in those days, sort of finishing school, there was a bit of a turning point for me, but it was do I pursue cookery, which is what my passion was, but my other passion was education as well, and later on that sort of come into play as well.
Okay, cool.
So yeah. Tell us a bit about some of the restaurants and your journey, getting out into the real cooking or the world of chefs.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. So I guess 4 years in the airlines, I then went across to England and I worked for a year in a country house hotel over in West Sussex. If people have been to England, it's probably down towards Brighton direction. And that was one of England's best country house restaurants at the time. And that also gave me a really good understanding of the hotel business back then. I then went across to a place called the Cotswolds, and I had the best summer of my life working in the Cotswolds in England. Beautiful, beautiful countryside. Spent a few months there over the summer period, and then went into London to work, as you mentioned before, Bill, at that restaurant. It was Nico's at 90 Park Lane, and that was a 3 Michelin star back in the day. And at that time, it was one of 4 in England. And people would know of Marco Pierre White. Yep. He was one of the other chefs that got his 3rd Michelin star at the same time. And that was probably the hardest year of work that I'd gone through as a young chef, but also the most rewarding year in my life in terms of building work ethic and understanding of the industry. And it was the whole Monopoly Board, living on the Old Kent Road, working on Park Lane. It was an experience in London that I really, really valued. But
on Monopoly, there's a section there that said go to jail.
Never went to jail. Passed jail, thank goodness.
Working in a 3-star Michelin star restaurant, you know, we all watch chefs that shout and scream and so on. Was it like that? Is it calm and smooth? Are they all different?
I think back then the owner of my restaurant, Nico Ledenas, he was the renowned chef that would throw the food back at the customer and refuse to cook well-done steaks. And that then manifested over to Marco Pierre White and Gordon Ramsay sort of was a generation later. When he came through, he worked with Marco Pierre White as well. But back at that point, these were the trailblazing chefs that said the customer's not right all the time, and they started to push back, and I think came with that the fame as well.
Yeah. And what was the sort of food that you were cooking? What was gave it its 3 Michelin stars?
God, it's really hard to say that, but I think it's just the quality. The 3 Michelin stars is really about consistency, so you're under such review the whole time that a lot of it is just about really good food, really consistent delivery of the food, and a very large aspect was also the service of the food. So we would have had 20 waiters and probably 19 were French. The wine selection, the decor, that was really about the whole package, not just the food. Okay. A lot of very good 1 Michelin star restaurants would have amazing food. It's the 3 Michelin star is the whole package.
And Greg, what were the key lessons you learned out of all those experiences over there?
Yeah, work ethic. When it's time to work, you've got to put your sleeves up and work, you know. Teamwork was really important. We started at 6:30 in the morning. We'd finish at 11:30 at night every day we worked. And the last jobs we did was cleaning out the kitchens every night, cleaning the canopies. And then the next morning when we come in, there was this sense of pride in the place we worked as well. So it was really good grounding to teach about professionalism in a kitchen. Teamwork, respect, hierarchy, all of that come. And probably also dealing with pressure. I think if I think back to those days and what I've done since, I've never been stressed or never had pressure affect my work life. And I sort of often think back whether it's that early grounding that helps with that through your life, through your journey.
So you left the UK.
Yep.
And where'd you go there?
So left the UK, got back to Melbourne in about 1995 and went to a place called Lynch's Restaurant in Domain Road. You might know Lynch's Restaurant. And back then they were famous for their baby-free zone and all over the news. But I spent 4 years at Lynch's Restaurant and, again, really loved that.
The famous Paul Lynch.
Paul Lynch, yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah, that's another story to tell. but, yeah, still keep in contact with a lot of the staff from back in those days. And it was a really good, welcome back to Melbourne. I worked at Lynch's for 4 years and in leaving Lynch's, I went to the Hyatt and worked there for a couple of years as well and in essence, you know, experienced the small country house hotels in England and the inn that I worked at in the Cotswolds and went to the big 5-star to get a more of a rounded experience in hotels and certainly of a 5-star nature as well.
So you're obviously never afraid to jump ship. Were you always looking for an opportunity and that led you, right, I need to learn this, I'll move?
Yeah, I was, but also in many ways I didn't jump ship as much as many people do. You know, if you think I was in the airlines for 4 years, England for 2 years, that was about getting more experience. But Lynch's for 4 years, the Hyatt for 2 years, and we'll chat about education in a moment, which was even longer, but I'm always one that doesn't jump ship too quick. I think you've got a little bit more about loyalty to a boss and the business, and I think that reciprocal attitude comes back as well.
But you're obviously constantly learning.
Constantly learning and getting promoted from within and challenging yourself. And I think when the time comes, sometimes the challenge may not be there and another opportunity comes up. Of course, people would move at that point, but I was always challenged in the jobs I had.
Okay. And from the Hyatt, where to?
From the Hyatt, and that was probably a turning point in my career. I had a choice of going to work for a place in Melbourne called The Point, and there was an executive sous chef job going there with a renowned chef called Ian Curley. And the other choice was actually going back to TAFE and pursuing my career in education. And as I sort of mentioned before, I had a real passion for education all through my cooking journey. I took the right-hand turn towards TAFE, and my wife called it my gap year, but I actually took a year off cooking and spent a year studying a diploma of hospitality at a place called Chisholm TAFE at the time, or Holmes Glen TAFE it later became. And that was just a really good opportunity for me to learn more about food and beverage management and learn more about the finances and the I guess cooking's great, but it's understanding the business was really important as well. And then they found out one day that I was a chef, and someone called in sick. They said, "Greg, can you teach this class tonight?" I said, "Yeah, no problem." And that started my journey in teaching. And really, for the next 4 to 6 years, it was teaching cookery at a place called Holmes Glen TAFE in Melbourne, which is an amazing TAFE that I've worked with for a long time. And after that first 6 years, I then sort of became manager, and I started managing the hospitality and bakery department for the last 15 years. So in terms of staying in a job, 24 years I stayed with Holmes Glen TAFE, incredible journey. And the last 7 years of that, so back in 2015, we started a new program with Le Cordon Bleu. They're a French cooking school, one of the world's most renowned. And we started back in those days with 15 students. And in 2 years later, we had 500 students enrolled. So it was just incredible growth that we went through from, you know, 2 teachers in the program to nearly 50 teachers or 50 staff. I'm not going to mention the COVID word, oops, but of course education got hit in those times and numbers sort of declined a little bit, but I'm glad to say the business, both Holmes Glen and Le Cordon Bleu, are doing really well at the moment.
Well, Greg, we interviewed on a podcast a young apprentice chef here in Geelong recently that's been in some national competitions and done very well.
Pippa McPherson.
And in fact, the TAFE has employed her as their their apprentice chef, which is great news. But tell me about your thoughts on young people going into this profession. And, you know, we always hear about universities and all the rest of it and parents wanting, you know, their kids to go here and go there. But what would you say the benefits of a young person entering into the hospitality, cookery, bakery part of the world, even though we know it's a tough gig a tough apprenticeship?
Thing that comes to mind straight away, back a lot of secondary school students now, when they're doing their year 11 and 12, have the opportunity to work in hospitality or get vocational experience while they're studying their VCE, and I can't speak more highly of that. So being able to work part-time, to come to TAFE one day a week to learn cookery, and when they get to that year 12 moment of what do I do, that realisation of it may not just be university as an option, it could also be an industry. And hospitality, a lot of our students over the years that I've seen come through, they may not have gone on to be hospitality professionals, but the understanding of the industry, learning about wine, learning about etiquette, and customer service is the big one, and that confidence that comes with that, I just think they're invaluable skills that people can transfer across whatever industry they get to. So the initial training and I guess experience a young person might get is just goes so far to set them up in their careers. And I was only speaking to someone today in Geelong about his involvement in hospitality, and it's been all his life. And the comment I made was it just traps you, this industry. You can't get out of it because it is a passion. And whilst you might work hard, there is so many positives that come with this experience. It's not the negatives people might think it is. And you might work Saturdays, you might work weekends, but how many other jobs give Mondays off every week? You know, so there's a different way you can look at it. But also, employers these days, it's not what employees were 20 years ago. And employers these days are very respectful of their staff. They pay their staff properly. Staff work normal hours. And really good employers would make sure that their young staff get the time to socialise with their friends, so it's not impacting their young life as well. And I think for an industry that needs a lot more staff, I think that employer relationship with their staff is really important. It's that give and take to make sure the staff will stay with them.
And it's interesting, the staffing bit, because just where I live, a number of the restaurants and cafes down there are struggling to find stuff. And I keep thinking, where are the year 10 and 11? Where are they going? Why aren't they? That used to be a rite of passage. You go and work in your local cafe or whatever. It just doesn't seem to be happening there.
I don't know. It's a, it's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And most employers will really struggle to get those staff, particularly COVID's been the difficult in the last 2 or 3 years, and maybe there's still a bit of a hangover. I think slowly it'll come back. There's a lot of international students coming to Geelong, a lot of students, other domestic students travelling in, looking for part-time work. Incredible amount of venues opening up in town as well that I can see, which is really exciting, you know, for the Geelong region. And I think those young people will get in, and maybe it's chatting with the Gordon TAFE more, with businesses reaching out and getting more partnerships and relationships in place to set those young kids up into jobs. It'll be important. Maybe it's the COVID hangover, Mark, that's that we're probably still experiencing with the numbers. Yep,
So what brought you to Geelong? Why are you here talking to us in Geelong?
Good question. Well, one, I love the city, and living in Camperdown almost, as a young person, and Geelong was always our go-to on the weekends. We went to Warrnambool as well, but Geelong was always a go-to, and I love Geelong. I have family in Geelong and Colac and surround, so there's a real family reason to come back. Mum and Dad are down the road as well, friends in Geelong. But you know what? The last 2 months has made me realise that I just love Geelong. It's the people, it's the culture, and it's the connectiveness that people have. And joining places like the Chamber of Commerce, the business community are really supportive of each other. And amongst all that, it's got a beautiful foreshore. It's a beautiful place. And I guess coming into my new business, which is the new Quest Geelong Central that's opening up in September, when we went through a whole business planning process to get into that business, you know, really Geelong is the place that a lot's happening and a lot of investment. I won't mention the Commonwealth Games. They're gone now, but there's just been a lot of activity happening in Geelong. And as a young person coming into Geelong and wanting to invest, it has so much opportunity. And that was one of the big drivers for me to come to Geelong.
So on our tipping points and sliding doors comments and all our past podcasts, what was the catalyst to go leave Holmes Glen and then take on this new career as a business owner with the Quest Group?
There's a couple of reasons. One, my brother, my business partner, he's been in Quest for 15 years. So one reason was being able to look from a distance about Quest and about how the business model worked and the way their franchise model works. I cannot speak more highly of the Quest brand and the Quest culture, the people that have been working with me to get me to this franchise moment. For me also, one of the drivers more personally was actually having my own business. I think after 24 years in one place, it was, and I guess coming out of COVID as well, there was the what's next question come up, and really having my own business, being able to transfer my skills that I've acquired through that hospitality background, through my management experience as well. Really, it was about getting my own business, and what better opportunity than to go into a trusted and recognised brand, you know, like Quest, but also having the support from family and all that as well.
So who's boss, your brother or you?
Good I'm not question. Sure if he's listening. I'm the boss, No, so Mark, actually, Mark is his name. He has his own Quest business in Bundoora in Melbourne.
So he's helped you with what you're doing. Correct. Fantastic.
Correct.
And it's good to have that inside knowledge, isn't it?
Absolutely. And when we open, I'll be leaning on him, I'm sure, all the time. But I'm also confident we're just going through a recruitment process in Geelong at the moment, and there's been lots of really good applications from people coming in.
Fantastic.
Which is a positive sign wanting to get into that hospitality industry as well.
Yeah, you're right in saying that Geelong is, it's finally turned the corner from all the negativity of the past and all of it. That's all gone. That's all forgotten. And it's a whole new set of, I guess, industries in Geelong. But the really important one for you will be the opening of the convention centre too. That's, I think, how Mark, you're the guru on this. How long away is it?
2026 will be the opening date around then. So,
but it's becoming a... I heard someone talk the other day and they made a comment that they saw Geelong as a suburb of Melbourne and it should be more connected to Melbourne.
Mm.
Well, I got news for you, Tony, that we don't want to be part of Melbourne, and nor should we be, because there's so many potential opportunities and the place has grown like crazy.
Mm.
In fact, I'm starting to get worried about the traffic.
Yeah, it's getting that way, isn't it? Yeah. So tell us about the hotel. So Quest, how many rooms? What's there?
Yeah, so Quest, we're on Jeringhap Street, so at the top end of Jeringhap Street, and right in that precinct just up the road from the Arts Centre, down the road from GMHBA Stadium. The hotel has 87 apartments and a combination of studio, one-bedroom, two-bedroom apartments. Really well-recognised brand, globally recognised through the Ascot Group, but Quest is one brand that a lot of corporate people would know and respect. And obviously in Geelong, there's going to be a very large leisure market as well. Geelong is really becoming a place that people want to travel to and not necessarily travelling through, which is really good as well. So brand new hotel, brand new team, and hopefully with my leadership, we'll have a really vibrant, energetic team of people that will really make sure guests enjoy their stay in Geelong. Quest really do go further to make those moments matter, you know, above and beyond. And we want people to feel like they've come to a small town, and we want to immerse them in the local community as well. And a lot of the networks I'm forming at the moment might be with the restaurant on the waterfront. It might be with the Arts Centre, with the GMHBA Stadium, etc. But there's this real opportunity to bring people into Geelong, give them really good accommodation that they can trust, and also make sure their time in Geelong is one that they can really remember.
Well, we interviewed Tracy, the head of the Geelong Bellarine.
Yep.
Geelong Bellarine Tourism.
Geelong and Bellarine Tourism.
I'll get it right.
Yep.
And she made a comment now with the Tassie Ferry coming in to Geelong. People are wandering around, you know, and sort of who have come to Geelong have got to wait, or they might be out of sync with their timing. They've got to stay somewhere because to get before the ferry gets back. And we see them coming off the ferry. And then Avalon's getting bigger and bigger and now more airlines. So I see a new one announced the other day.
Yep.
So it's just who knows what the potential is.
It's absolutely huge. Yeah. What other facilities? I think we were talking off microphone as a boardroom.
Yeah, there's a conference space at the hotel, a gymnasium. There's a rooftop space as well. There's a business lounge. All of the apartments, which is quite unique to Geelong as well, all have kitchens within the apartments. So great for families that want travelling, or also great for that corporate traveller that's wanting to do their own cooking. And really, I guess maybe it's the proximity as well of the hotel to everything around Geelong. It's really within walking distance to most of the places of interest.
A trick question. Football. You know that this town lives. It's blue and white.
I'm hoping you wouldn't ask that.
And I went to the game on Saturday night and I was just thinking to myself, when I was in the stadium, I thought, look at those 10... opposition supporters over there. Everybody else has got blue and white scarves on.
Yeah.
So the question. Who is it? Who do you marry for?
My team is different to the team my hotel will support, but my team wear black and white stripes. Collingwood.
Yes, it'll be interesting.
And that's only through my Camperdown roots from way back, Camperdown. But the hotel will obviously be a proud supporter of Geelong, and you know we've started discussions already with the team at GMHBA.
You really have been vaccinated with the right story, haven't you?
I know.
And what do you do outside of work? Have you ever had time to do anything?
No, always busy. I guess I'm a proud Rotarian as well, so I really love that community involvement, and that was something that really drew me to Quest as well, their values around community.
Yeah.
But really a Rotarian, that my downtime I'm doing something community somewhere. I love actually networking, so from a business point of view, that's an also a reason that brought me to my own business, was that opportunity to meet other business people. Eating out, enjoying food. I'm still a hospitality person and love the other side of it as well. And coming through, my kids have grown up now, but obviously time I had with my kids when they're going through school sports and all that as well was always very important to me.
So I've got to ask this question. What's your favourite dish? What's the dish you love preparing that the family can't wait for you to do?
I think it might be my fried rice from back in that Chinese restaurant. I'm not sure. No, I don't think there's a favourite dish. I just keep it simple. I love just fresh ingredients. I love barbecues. I love cooking roasts. I love maybe 25 years ago the answer might have been a little bit different, but I just love food that brings people together.
Well, we'll put you on to the best butcher shop in Geelong.
Yeah, sounds good.
Just up the road from here.
Yeah. Now, bookings, when are you taking bookings?
So the hotel's due to open on the 25th of September, which is grand final week. Bookings aren't being taken just yet, probably late October, but as we get closer to opening, the booking window will come back.
And that'll be through the Quest website or your own website?
Through the Quest website, but yeah, people can find us, Quest Geelong Central. If you go onto Google, you'll find us and book with us direct, and we'll make sure we look after your stay and book you in.
Fantastic.
Well, coming out of the motel industry recently, Mark, you know all about booking direct, don't you?
Oh, yes. Very important.
Yeah.
But, Greg, thank you.
Pleasure.
We wish you all success because Geelong needs more hotels, and I've been watching that building going up, and can't wait for it to open. So we wish you all success.
Yeah, well, and like some of our other podcast interviews, we'll come back to you once you're really settled down and established, and we can have a conversation, you know, from a different point of view. But thank you for coming along today. It's been great talking to you. Looking forward to the premises being open.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Mark. It's been great.
My pleasure.